Simple Minds, Don't You Forget About Me. Here are classic hits. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Happy hump day to you folks. Wednesday, 3rd of February.
Yay.
A very good morning to you.
Happy Wednesday to your horse. How are you?
The one and only PJ Gallagher.
I got 9 reasons to be happy. I got 9 big reasons to be happy.
I knew you were going to get stuck in there early on it.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was going to be that early.
9 big reasons to be happy today.
Wow, incredible. And I mean, I have it recorded because I only, because of bedtimes and all that.
It's too late for me. I didn't get to see it.
Yeah.
I actually woke up and saw the text message from you saying, Manchester United are winning 7-0.
No, that wasn't for me.
It was.
No, it wasn't. Definitely wasn't for me. I wasn't watching the match at that stage.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was from you.
I only got as far as half time and then I went to bed.
Who sent me the message?
Somebody's impersonating me.
Who sent me the message? Who sent me the message then?
I don't know. I definitely didn't, though. I wasn't watching it when they were 7-0 up.
And then it says 9 now. I can't believe this. I can't believe what I'm looking at.
Not me, buddy.
That's how I found out. I was there, fair play to Jim. I can't wait to see him in the morning, I said.
No.
I couldn't believe he stayed up.
I didn't text you. After I sent you the Luis Suarez text, I didn't text you anymore.
I can't find it now.
Right, I'll leave you to that. I'll let you work on that. Morning to you, folks.
Think I'm
anyway.
For having some brain disorder.
087-188-0008. If you need to give us a shout at any stage, hopefully you're in good form for your Wednesday. Hopefully you're having a slightly better and less confusing start than poor old PJ is this morning.
Can't find it.
Are you okay?
I don't even have a WhatsApp group, really. That's mad.
Kylie Minogue spinning around here at Classic Hits. Did you get to the bottom of it? Who's the phantom texter then you were?
I can't figure it out at all. I thought it might have been Mike then.
Did you find the messages even?
No, I can't find...
Did you imagine it all?
No, I couldn't have imagined it because I came in and I knew the answer. You know, I knew the results, so I didn't imagine it all. So I had to get the information from somewhere.
Very bizarre.
Did you not? Are you sure?
I know if I text you. I didn't text you. It wasn't me.
I found.
Who was it?
Someone neither of us know. Well, of course I know. Someone neither of us know. I mean, oh my God. My brain is actually
so,
shut
so
down.
It's just so, somebody totally randomly different.
Someone completely different. And it was a Viber message.
I don't even have Viber.
I think me and this fella are the only people left that do, to be quite honest with you.
Right, 10 past God's 6. Let's do the birthdays then, right? We finally got it sorted. Let's get stuck into the birthdays. It is the birthday of one Roy Chubby Brown.
Oh, you dirty fecker. He is still actually the last of those comedians that should be like a bit of blue for the dads, bit of blue for the dads.
Still, I believe, I don't know what he does. Obviously, nobody's been doing shows in recent times, but
that's
up until recent times, I believe he still packs places out.
Packs places out, yeah, because he's kind of riding the whole, like, you know, the kickback against the PC bandwagon,
right,
as he'd call it.
Yeah.
You know, all of that sort of stuff. But I think it's safe to say...
Does gigs at rallies, does he? Just
not far off. Like, not far off at this stage, you know what I mean?
It's gas that a lad who was born, his real name is Royston Vasey.
I know, isn't that? I mean, like, he sounds like he should be hanging out with that other flute from the Tory party, you know?
Rees-Mogg,
yeah. It sounds like the two of them should be mates, and you couldn't get two people further apart, really.
Yeah, and he went down the route of telling the old blueies.
Telling the old blueies, yeah. I guess it's just nowadays, that is very, very... You can't get away with that anymore.
No, you know, all even old, remotely close.
Like, everything
I mean, he's a modern-day Bernard Manning, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah. And everything from race to mother-in-laws to girlfriends and women falling into things and everything and him thinking, oh, he's... jeepers. Yeah, you're actually not even allowed to describe... That's how bad he is now. Or how bad he's considered. You're not allowed to tell what his jokes are about, never mind the jokes themselves.
Yeah, exactly. So how old is he? Because he's no spring chicken.
No, he's not. I'd say, he could be like, I think he's like 79.
Not bad at all. 76.
Oh, is he right?
76 for Roy Chubby Brown.
He's been around a long time. Still wearing that pilot's hat and all. He looks mad, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's some sort of Biggles outfit looking thing in his head.
Yeah.
That's very weird.
See, when I wear this and I swag off Pakistanis, people just laughing at me at...
Anyway, Let's leave Roy Chubby Brown in the past.
Yeah.
Shall we? Roy, what about this? This will take you back. Speaking of the past, it'll take you back to your childhood. You were a big Dallas fan in your day.
Oh, I loved it so much.
Do you remember who played Jenna Wade?
Wade. I don't remember her name.
I was kind of surprised when I saw this because I thought it was a different actress. But anyway, according to this, Morgan Fairchild.
Morgan Fairchild, that's her name, the blonde hair. Like, oh, jeepers, yeah.
Yeah.
She looks a bit like a really gorgeous Mick Wallace. she was brilliant.
Yeah.
She was really brilliant, yeah.
It says, you know what her first job was? According to this, right? Her first job was as a double for Faye Dunaway in that movie Bonnie and Clyde.
No.
She was the body double for...
That is gas.
The stand-in, like, for the... lining up the shot.
Lining up the shot, yeah. When they were, like, taught... When the other fella had to do the lines and you just didn't want to be there. So they had to have some, you're someone's shoulder and hair in the shot, so it makes like it's consistent, yeah.
Yeah, Morgan... Jenna Wade in Dallas, according to this. I don't remember in that. I do remember Morgan Fairchild. I don't remember.
I definitely remember. She was, like, yeah, she wasn't... She wasn't, like, a woman of... completely very good repute in it, that's for sure.
Oh!
You know what I mean? Yeah, there was a lot of...
She's not the kind of woman that Roy Truby Brown would be telling jokes about.
No, she was too clever for that. She was duping people left, right and centre, yeah. I gotta say she was...
Again, no spring chicken.
No, no one would be, Dallas being a thing. I mean, say that's... 73.
Not bad, not bad. 71.
Oh, that's all 71.
Right. 71, yeah, yeah, doing okay here. Right, what about a bit more up to date? Warwick Davis.
Warwick!
Yeah.
The little fella from... The little fella from Willow and...
I don't even know what the current PC thing is around that whole sort of descriptive element.
I don't know.
Let's just call him a great British actor. Star of things like Willow and Return of the Jedi. And the Harry Potter films.
And the stuff he's done with Ricky Gervais
Ricky
and all.
Ricky Gervais, brilliant.
What's the name of that again? Is it The Short Life or something like that it's called? Or Life is Short.
Life is Short,
that's
yeah,
what it's called.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Yeah.
There's one amazing scene where he goes to his ex-wife's house. Have you seen that?
That's the one where you said he climbs the bookcase.
He collects his TV award and it's on the top of the bookcase. And her wife's new fella goes, do you want me to just hand it to you? He goes, I'll get it myself. And he climbs up to... And he's not, like, I think if there might be a couple of jars involved or something. It's very funny. It's terrible, but it's very funny. And, of course, Idiot Abroad. The one when he does Idiot Abroad with Carl Pilkington.
Yeah, he did one of the sort of later series, yeah.
It is so funny. Because he's into things. He likes life and all.
Yeah.
And that makes Carl Pilkington even more miserable. And he's like, oh, not only are you slowing me up, you're enjoying things. It's making everything so much harder.
Yeah, it's somewhere... Like, it's been a fair old career, hasn't it? Like, Willow was a long time back.
That's back in the 80s. That's like Dallas times and stuff. Yeah,
is that the one that had your maid in it? Andre the Giant, no? Is that Willow?
No, Dad, you're thinking of Princess Bride.
Princess Bride,
yeah,
that's
a different one, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Your mate.
Your mate.
Your mate, Andre the Giant.
Yeah, we were great buds back in the day. Fella stole me lunch and he threw him over to school.
Warwick Davis, then, what age would you say?
I'd say he's like 62.
He's 51.
Oh, is he? Oh, jeepers, I was miles off. He must have been on your child in Willow, then.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's quite a career when you consider going back a bit.
Well.
Right, what about this one now, right? Because this would be probably more up your street. I don't remember her in anything, okay? I know her more famously as the Mrs. of Sacha Baron Cohen, right? But apparently she was in Home and Away. Uh-huh. Isla Fisher.
I don't know. I know who she is. I don't know anything about her now.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
I thought the Home and Away thing, because you were a Home and Away
fan. I was too old. She was in it and I was, like, you know what I mean? Or was she, what age? I'll take a wild stab and say she's 32.
45.
Ah, well, having a clue then. I literally haven't got a clue what I'm talking about. What a first. What a first that is.
Right, and then listen, your curveball this morning, right? Would you know the actor Gary Webster?
Gary Webster?
Yeah. If I was to say to you, he was the second version of Minder.
Oh my God, yes, that's exactly who he is.
Yeah, I know, I just told you.
Well, you're right. You're right, Jim, telling me that.
He was the one when Minder wasn't great.
Yeah,
really.
When Terry left and it all went to pot.
Dennis Waterman was gone. And
it wasn't great and they changed the sequence.
I know Arthur was there and everything, but...
Nah, it wasn't the same at all. And actually, the start sequence was they walked down the pier and they left their keys at the end.
Do you know what we missed out on as well? Mark was texting in about it and tweeting in about it, and we never did it. We were supposed to have an end of January song, you know, finally wave good riddance to January.
The Minder theme.
We were going to, yeah, we should have done our Minder theme.
Should have done it. We're going to have to do that.
Yeah, we'll have to find an excuse for that. Anyway, so Gary Webster then, who became this, I don't know what else, I'm sure he's been in other things, but the sort of, the bad Minder, really, is what he'll be remembered as.
He was the bad Minder, yeah. He was the fella from Minder that, well, he was the sim, that he was the flair that went up to tell us not to watch Minder anymore, which is unfortunate. Because he wasn't a bad actor, it's just the show wasn't great without Terry in it.
Yeah.
I'll say he's like, he'd be like 57.
Yes!
Ah!
Well done.
Ah, that's not bad. Finishing on a highlight.
Back of the net.
Ireland's classic hits.
And now you're up to date on the home of the Niall Boylan Show, weekdays from 12. This is Ireland's classic hits.
Cheers, Tara. How are we this morning? Well rested, are we? Well rested, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, that was
very good.
Good,
yeah.
That was a good long night's sleep, wasn't it?
It was an excellent night's sleep. Not. Go on, see, go on, go
all
on.
All the good you did, you undid it when you woke up and went, what bloody time is it?
We're talking, what, about a good 40, 50 minutes later than I should be awake.
And it's the worst feeling in the world.
It is, the it panic is. That strikes you.
I'll tell you something, it must put years on you.
Definitely,
The shock to your body when you do that thing, you realise you're late for something. It's awful, isn't it?
But I was thinking on the way in, right, I'm nearly here 4 years. It's 4 years at the end of March since I joined the team.
Right.
And this is the first time I've ever slept it out.
Right.
I've actually come running in at the last minute when people who were supposed to be in work for me that day have slept it out.
Yeah.
That's happened twice. But this is the first time I've slept it out. And I feel like I'm going to be lined up outside the headmaster's office. Or
well, I mean, we've had endless emails of complaints.
It's unbelievable.
Disgruntled in Cabra was absolutely outraged. Yeah,
are you telling me that not a single person noticed?
Nobody noticed.
Nobody noticed. I'll have another lie in tomorrow.
I was about to say that. Yeah.
Somebody actually turned around and went, did I hear the news? They actually, literally, everybody's on autopilot. Well, we probably could have said to them, yeah, no, of course it was on.
Yes,
what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Where's your head? In fact, actually, if you'd have seen PJ this morning, you could have convinced PJ of anything this morning.
I was reading text messages that didn't exist, and I actually heard your bulletin, to be honest with you.
Christina Aguilera, Genie in a Bottle, here at Classic Hits and West End Girls from Pet Shop Boys, just ahead of that. Thanks for waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Happy hump day, Wednesday 3rd of February. Thank you for all of the WhatsApps, 087-188-0008. If you need to get in touch, a few interesting ones along the way. Dan in Cork has responded to Tara's revelation that she's now 4 years working with the team on Breakfast. This morning, and Dan's response has been, 4 years Tara is with the team and total days worked 37.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shocker.
I love the grief. It's just
oh
great.
Oh, my God. Hang on
a
second.
Tara has
a response for you, Dan.
Yeah, I was just going to say 37 and a half if you include the half day I've done today already from turning up, you know.
Brilliant.
I'm here.
Exactly. Yeah, and Steve the trucker was on to say that the reason he didn't get a shock was he just assumed you're on holidays again.
This is lovely, this is.
Oh,
I'm not coming in ever again.
That's it now, yeah. Fantastic, brilliant. Also, listen, I was right to be curious about, you know, Morgan Fairchild's birthday today.
Indeed, yes.
And I was saying it sort of didn't sit well with me, this thing that she played Jenna Wade in Dallas. But of course she did.
Yeah.
But she played Jenna Wade first, and then it was one of those weird things where they replaced the actress.
They used to do that in the 80s a lot, yeah.
And the one I thought was Jenna Wade took over, Priscilla Presley.
Oh, yeah, because, yeah, of course, yeah. They did that with that character, and they did it with Miss Ellie as well.
Yeah.
One day you're watching it, and the new Miss, just a different woman walked out of the kitchen, and we were like, what in the name of God? And everyone just goes, Miss Ellie, Miss. And then for that episode, everyone just repeated
and that's not even the worst of it for Dallas. I mean, literally,
Well, Bobby in the shower.
How long was he in the shower
for? It was an entire year. An entire year of storyline. Yeah. And it was the worst thing ever for Linda Gray, was it, that played Sue Ellen?
Yeah.
Because she, in her that year, she sobered up and got her life back, got her revenge on JR. Do you remember all of that?
And it was all
and then
a dream.
One day she woke up and she was back on the sauce. And she was wrecked. She was back on the sauce and JR was trekking her into a madhouse, I think. It was awful.
Shocker.
Oh, yeah, that was definitely the worst story plot twist of all time.
That was. I think that's widely accepted. The Bobby in the shower thing is literally the laziest piece of writing that's ever happened in any piece of television.
My friend's dad got so upset by it. I think it's all he spoke about for about 3 months after. Like, you could hear after mass and all. In a shower. A year of me life, I'm having a spell, I'm having a man having a shower. A shower. You know, like, when, you know, like, with months, when I wasn't even on telly anymore. And they were saying, Mr.
Because they used to say that was
still very upset over Bobby in the shower.
The laziest piece of script writing you'd always knew when somebody ran out of an idea or whatever is when, if anything involved somebody having a dream.
A dream, that was it.
That was the way.
They wrote themselves into a
hole. You could literally write anything you want, right? And then write. And then he woke up.
Yeah, and just go back to any point in the story and say that's where he fell asleep and that's where he woke up. It was brutal.
Shocker. Anyway, so that's what it was. So yeah, Morgan Fairchild was in Dallas, did play Jenna Wade, but only for a little while, and then Priscilla Presley took over.
And yeah.
So I'm trying to think, what is it then that Morgan Fairchild was really famous for? Because for a while I thought she was in T.J. Hooker, but that wasn't her.
No, that wasn't
was
her. That
was Heather Locklear.
Yes, that was Heather Locklear.
Yeah.
And was she in? She wasn't in Charlie's Angels, was she?
No, that was Farrah Fawcett.
Oh, that's her, yeah. They really had a type in Hollywood back then, didn't they?
To be fair.
They really did. They really went for a special type of image, really. I don't know.
Anyway, well, I should really look it up, but sure, does anybody care that much, really?
I don't know. I'm looking here. Flamingo Road and Falcon Crest.
Falcon Crest.
That was the one. Remember Falcon Crest with the never-ending glass of wine being filled up?
Yeah.
At the start. Do you remember that? I think that was the one. Falcon Crest. There was Falcon Crest.
That was a spin-off of Dynasty, was it?
Yeah, it was the poor one of the three. Of the holy trinity of American soap operas. It was the dirty left at triangle.
Right.
It was, yeah.
I'm glad we got to the bottom of that.
Yes, that's what
right.
It was.
So listen, folks, what do we have for you today? We have got €1,000 on the Hitbit. We decided we'd round it up for the week. Every day this week we'll play for $1,000 on the Hitbit. So that's on the way in the next hour. Plenty of time to get involved. Magic Mike standing by, eager to give you the cash. 087-188-0008 if you want to get involved in that. Of course, a year's supply of Swedish Nutra's vitamin C and D3, a full year's supply up for grabs, 12 No, sorry, 11, I think, still top of the leaderboard on that.
Yeah, the breakfast table quiz.
And what have we got going on then? What's been tickling your funny bone so far this morning?
Oh, I have to give out about my cooking abilities. They keep letting me down in one particular area.
You're
going to
give out about your own cooking abilities?
Yeah, I'm very upset about something that happened again last night. And then there's Hitler's toilet seats for sale. Imagine. Right. Imagine the evil things that were plotted while sitting on this unbelievable throne of ignorance.
Yeah.
So that's for sale. There's a multimillionaire that wants to live till he's 180 years of age.
Why? I don't know.
He calls himself a biohacker. You want to see this lad? I'm going to get a kick out of him, to be honest with you. And then I'm just going back to looking at pictures of Morgan Fairchild after that.
Classic Hits at the weekend.
Huge 80s number one culture club Karma Chameleon here at Classic Hits. Thank you so much for waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Thanks for letting us hang out with you on your Wednesday. On the way, of course, we've rounded up the Hitbit jackpot every day this week. You're playing for $1,000 with us in the morning. €1,000 if you can tell us what our Hitbit is, the famous song that our Hitbit comes from. Magic Mike standing by as always if you want to get in nice and early. 087-188-0008. And if you're somebody who, if you were to believe, which I'm sure you don't, but if you were to believe the Hollywood script writers, apparently we're all in search of eternal life.
Yes.
Apparently we all want to live forever. It's the Holy Grail. Personally, I have to say, I don't know if it floats my boat that much.
Not mine, no. I'm very tired now and I'm only halfway there at the best, you know.
You know, so like, that's what I was thinking. I mean, it's one thing to live forever if you're going to be, you know, sort of living forever in your 20s, maybe.
Yeah, that's it, you know.
But if you're just going to kind of generally creep on a bit, well, I'm not sure I'm into it.
I reckon after 100, like, life it might be a bit more difficult, you know, that way.
Yeah.
But anyway, this millionaire, his name is David Asprey, right? And he reckons he may possibly be the first person to live until 180 years of age. Yes, He's not mad. He is what he describes himself as a biohacker. He reckons he's a biohacker. He's already spent more than $1 million out of his own pocket in an attempt to live as long as he possibly can. So, what does $1 million get him? The man who can have it all. What has he come up with to make him live to 180 years old? Is it cryogenics of some kind? Is it some sort of mad chemicals? Has he found some weird philosopher's stone that a wizard has been sitting on up in the mountain? Nah, skip breakfast. So this is what he reckons. Skip breakfast.
Oh, yeah. My God. So I'm destined to live forever.
Jim, you are going to live forever. He has come up, he says, intermittent fasting and skipping breakfast is the key to a longer life. He's put in $1 million worth of research.
Oh, my God.
Also, have dinner earlier. So, Jim, it looks like you, I mean...
Look...
You're never going to die. The eternal Jim McCabe. In fact, it turns out Jim McCabe is 116 years old already.
As it is.
Yeah.
If you were to listen to PJ's abuse on this show, you'd well believe that I probably was in my 116s. But anyway...
Yeah, I couldn't believe that this is what he came up with. This is utter rubbish.
Now, thing about it here now, you have to be very specific with this, right? Because recently... I did start to roll back a bit. I used to kind of like forget breakfast altogether, fasting up until about sort of midday.
Yeah.
But of late now, I've drifted back into having me porridge about 9 o'clock.
I don't blame you. Why would you be starving yourself?
No, but I never felt hungry. But now, for some reason, I think it's, you know something, I think it's a bit like food sort of makes you want other food.
It does.
I think I've been eating so much during the pandemic that... It just feels weird to not be eating something at any given time.
I think you're right, and I think that's the best way. What's the point of living for 180 years if you can't have a flipping breakfast? Imagine.
So what do you have to do then to achieve this? So intermittent fasting, right, okay.
Intermittent fasting, this is genuinely where he's got. And he's on TV thinking he's discovered it. What he doesn't realise is the Greeks were like doing intermittent fasting like...
Yeah, hundreds
of years ago. Mm. So it's complete nonsense. He says the new techniques he has found, intermittent fasting, there is some cryotherapy treatments, and very deep sleep, make your body make energy differently, and that will lead you, if you do it right, to live two lifetimes. Jim's lived two lifetimes in 50 years. That's what I've heard about Jim. Yeah. But they've been doing this for years. There's nothing new in this. This man is out of his mind. This man is...
It took him $1 million to establish that.
This is the very definition of a fool, and his money can be easily parted. That's what the different...
That's as far as he's got. $1 million got him skipping breakfast. I have a deep sleep.
Yeah, to the point now that he says the one problem he's having at the moment, right, is that his deep sleep is now being affected because he's starting to think, how am I going to enjoy my life when everyone around me shall be dead, but I will go on to live? This is like, it's proper maths, right? So he's saying, I don't really think I want to live to 180, maybe 150, maybe a little bit less. Where I can still have a lot of people around me. Do you know what I love about this, though? I'd love to live for 180 years old for one reason. Because I'm bad enough already. I look at people in their 30s and going, ah, yeah, I don't know what I was like before there was phones and all. I just want to be able to look at a 100-year-old person and go, yeah, so what would you know? You're only a snapper. When I went to school, they used to lace up me toes and paint me feet black. I had to use a stray cat as a belt.
You'd end up in that situation where you'd be saying, "No, God, in my day, we'd only four cars.
Yeah, in my
four electric cars that flew. What?
Yeah, are you flying into work? Are you? Yeah, in my day, you had to walk. Yeah, to do all that. That's just what I want to do. Because you can be so unbearable. We're already unbearable with this carry on.
180 years into the future from now.
Yeah, I know. From now, imagine us. Imagine the two of us still giving out. Still saying, I'll tell you something. I remember giving out when I was 45 and about things that young people didn't know.
You'd spend the next 130 years of your 180 year or your 100 and whatever year existence basically just giving out.
Isn't it great?
To people who are younger than you.
Can I tell you this? This is the thing. I look at this man and his aspirations are to see the new world, to see where history will lead us, to see what the future has, to see the things that most people can only miss, to venture, to live a life of utter adventure. I'm just like, no, I just want to lord it over people. Look at you, huh? You're only 108 and you're walking around like your knees are at you. I'm on my 17th pair of hips, you joker. I just want to spread crankiness throughout the world. That's what I want to do, yeah.
You just want to remind people how good they have it.
Yeah, look at you. You have your own bed, do you? That's outrageous. I used to share a bed with four dogs.
REM, Losing My Religion here at Classic Hits. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Thank you so much for doing that. Somebody just pointed out after your story about your man who wants to live to be 180. Somebody's been on to say, Adam, I think it is, if you did live to be 180, the hit bit would still be going.
Yeah, imagine two of us still on the radio. There they go. The hit bit today would be worth 700,938 euro.
Probably very true. Actually, do you know something that does occur to me after your story is the fact that if you did end up living till you were 180, right?
Yeah.
You'd have to get involved in spare parts.
You would, yeah. You'd be
replacing motor factors and builders, providers and all that sort of stuff with, like, literally you'd have a shop or whatever set up for body parts. You'd be able to walk in and go, listen, I'm looking for a hip for a 1968 male. Have you got one?
Yeah, and you'd still be getting given out. You'd still be buying stuff. You go, that's for the 12-year-old boy. I'm going around with this ridiculous hand.
Yeah. Do you have that in blue? What do you want it in blue for? I need it to match me varicose veins.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you have it in? No.
You don't sell the...
You haven't any elbows, actually, have you? I was thinking of getting a spare one.
Or even a comb over. You don't do them separate, or do you have to buy it as a pack of as a pack for the head?
Love Fool from the Cardigans here. A Classic Hits final call on the hit bit 087-188-0008. Remember, we're playing for a grand Magic Mike standing by to try and give you that cash. If you can impress him, get on and have your guess. And while you're in the process of doing that, I'm sure you're familiar. Everybody must be familiar. You know the way you always get these kind of shows on television? They go in big sweeps, right? There's always like a surge of cooking shows or a surge of home improvement shows or whatever. And then there was this big wave of all these kind of like, you know, antique stuff, like, you know, cash in the attic.
Yeah.
Where you'd find old stuff that was lying around your house and suddenly find out it was mad valuable.
And bargain hunt and all.
Yeah,
you know,
all that sort of stuff. I suppose it started originally with the likes of the Antiques Roadshow and all that carry on. So loads of them out there, right? So if you're into that sort of stuff, you know, somebody meet you, you know, trawling your house or your ma's house or your granny's house or whatever in the hope of finding something that might be worth a few quid. Check this out.
Check this out. Hitler's toilet seat is for sale. Now, we did a story, I think it was only last year or maybe the year before, about Hitler's actual toilet from his house being for sale and how they were trying to auction it off. Don't know how the auction went, actually. But now, a very unusual relic from his summer home in the Bavarian Alps. A US soldier stroked his toilet seat. He nicked it when they were raiding it, you know, when they basically took over the area. And he was told by a superior officer on the day, take anything you want. And for some reason, it just occurred to him to take Hitler's toilet seat. So he went up and
that bizarre in itself now. I mean, I don't know what was inside Hitler's summer home. But I have to say, if I was standing in it and somebody said to me, listen, take what you want if you want a memento, probably the last thing to come to me head would be,
get the jack seat.
I want the thing that Hitler's arse was on.
Well, that's it, yeah. And that for him, he said that was the first thing he thought of. He thought this could be worth money. Yeah, but he was right. He was right. It turns out it could be worth it. It's going on sale for $5,000 as the opening bid, but they reckon it'll get about $15,000. In the auction. It's been in the family's basement or attic or whatever.
Did he know he had it? Or somebody was kind of trawling through, cleaning up the place and went, what in the name of God is that?
They always knew they had it. So he's an American soldier with a very German name. Ragvald Borsch was the name of him.
Right.
And he went in and he obviously saw things slightly differently. They already knew
Is he an American soldier?
He is an American soldier.
Or was
soldier,
he just somebody who found a uniform
and stuck it on, and they were like, what part of the States are you from, boy?
I love the apple pie. I love the apple pie very much.
It's wonderful.
Apologies for my desperately bad German accent.
I can't wait to get back to Minnesota.
Yes, to my white picket fence. I love it very much.
And the toilet seat comes complete with a picture of him on it, carrying it. And apparently this whole story was told in a book many years ago. So,
and how do you verify that it is Hitler's toilet seat? How do you verify? Like,
I don't know, honestly.
I mean, you could literally just have a random toilet seat, right?
Well, it's very peculiar looking now. It looks like it's a pretty unique thing. Like, there's like a handly thing on the front of it.
A handle on the front of your toilet
seat? Sort of cups the seat. It's not all round, so it's like a
regular... Is it in an R shape?
Yeah, essentially, kind of is. And then there's like a lever part where the front of it would be that you would use to pick it up. It's fancy. Hitler wasn't into any old, you know.
Right.
Hitler didn't sit on plastic or anything. This is fancy. Looks like it's made out of an, I don't know, an elephant's tusk or so. I don't know what it's made of, right?
Right.
But you can get a toilet seat for about 15 grand, they reckon. And then they sell it. So it's in the brochure. And in the brochure, they say one can scarcely, this is what the tagline on it says, one can scarcely imagine the plotting that a tyrant undertook while contemplating the world from atop this perch. It says the toilet seat measures 19 inches front to back and 16 inches wide. It has two chrome fittings joined by two pieces. It's really sort of, I mean, you're looking at it, you can see
mind
it.
Mind you, I suppose then, in fairness, that is believable because, I mean, we had the story the other day on the show about the relationship that men have with their toilets and how we multitask and do a lot of our planning and kind of, you know, strategizing and thinking and stuff while on the throne. So,
yeah.
I mean, I suppose, yeah, you are talking about quite literally the seat of power.
This might be the most evil toilet in the world. He might have been in there minding his own business and someone kept knocking on the door. And he was like, you know something, if they knock again, I'm
invading somewhere.
I'm going to go mad. If they knock again, I'm going into Poland. That's it. I'm out. That's it.
Wow.
He snapped. He went mad. That was the moment. Maybe he went bonkers. It might be the toilet seat place. It might be the place where he lost his marbles completely.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a far-fetched story, but I know if I was telling it, it'd be the one I'd be telling.
It could have been. Yeah, maybe it was in there that he got the idea about dropping a bomb.
Well, now you see, there's another thing to stick into the brochure.
Yeah, who knows what would have gone on in there.
This is
that's if it's for real. The other question is, would you want
it? Hitler dropped his first bomb. His wife described it as the worst air raid she'd ever smelled.
Classic hits.
And now, the Hit Bit with Supermax. Whether you're into taco, curry, cheese, or garlic fries, we have something for everyone. Order online, available at supermax.ie.
Hit Bit. It's a bit of a really famous hit. It's a bit, just a bit from a classic hit. But what hit is it?
Hit Bit. The classic hit bit is worth £1,000 all this week. It's a grand L week on the classic hit bit.
Hey, look at you.
It's a grand L
week. I tell you something. You should be a comedian, man.
I'm telling you.
You're good.
I don't know. I don't think I'll have the bottle for it, to be honest with you. So here's what it sounds like. The big clue we have for you is big, and it's going to be Mary Naughton in the bat, who's going to go first this morning.
It's Mad Mary. How are you, Mary?
Hello, Bubble Duchess.
Brilliant stuff. Come here. Listen, how's Pete the happy man?
He's still alive.
Well, that's okay.
That'll do.
Yeah, exactly. Well done on that alone. That's a success.
I feel very proud of myself every day that he's alive.
By the way, listen, PJ,
yeah.
You are speaking to one of the longest listeners to this show.
You're joking.
I'm serious. Yeah, Mary has been around since day one, virtually.
No, Pete has been around since day one. He introduced me.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, dear.
Pete, the happy man's responsible for Mary's introduction. I do beg your pardon.
Right.
But they go right back.
All the way back. Classic hits from the start.
Oh, yeah. So you have a bit of respect, PJ Gallagher.
That's okay. I won't slag you about being in the bath for the last half an hour.
You're not still in the bath, Mary, are you?
Oh, yeah. I've got at least another 20 minutes before I have to go to work. So, yeah.
Oh, my God. You'll be like a prune getting out.
Ah, yeah, but you don't run a full bath and then get out of it after half an hour.
That's true. You have to keep, you have to keep topping up the hot water and all that.
Yeah,
you know, make a bit of luxury.
Do you have Pete coming in with the kettle every so often, do you?
No, but he keeps bringing me coffee and breakfast.
Proper.
Like that,
That man.
I have all done.
That man is such a gentleman. He really is. Such a gentleman.
He's my star.
Right. Disgusting. Right, so let's try and get you a new shower then, will we?
I suppose. I'm kind of liking the bath thing, though.
Well,
I might buy the toilet seat instead.
Hitler's toilet seat, yeah. Look right next to the bath, yeah.
Myself and Pinky are always trying to take over the world. I mean, Pete, so...
Exactly. Right, so go for it, Mayor. What are you thinking?
I think it's Michelle Schacht, Anchored Down in Anchorage.
Oh, wow. I love that song so much.
What a tune. Right, it's time to head out your neck of the woods, Mary, to be fair. We're heading west out to Magic Mike. Hey, Michael.
I'm just looking across the field at him.
Is he stalking you again? I warned him about that, looking in people's houses.
Anyway, Mary, I wish I could shower you with cash this morning.
Oh,
but I can't.
Very good.
Oh, sorry about that, Mary, but enjoy the rest of your bath.
Thank you very much indeed, and very good morning to everybody who is working in shops this morning.
Yes. Well done. Essential crew. essential crew.
In shops?
We are very
shops,
essential.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, frontline kind of retail staff
some,
and all that.
For some reason, I was thinking, I just started thinking, who's buying shops? Oh, the shops are closed. My head's broken, don't mind me.
Mary, take care of yourself. Cheers.
Bye, boys.
Bye,
see you, Mary.
Bye-bye.
Good luck. Right, now, waiting very patiently this morning with Sarah Kinsler. How are you, Sarah?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad at all, Sarah. Where are you this morning?
I'm in Dublin.
Right, so you're not in the bath or anything like that?
I'm not, no.
Are you off to work as well?
Yeah, working from home.
Oh, okay, good stuff. Right, so you're in the city. You're the one person that could have a bath now, not a bother on you.
That's it.
Right, so Sarah, we have a grand all week. We'd love to give you the £1,000. What do you think?
Is it Say Something by A Great Big World?
Oh, another brilliant song.
Yeah, good tunes this morning. What do you make of that, Michael?
Okay, I wish I could say something great, but I can't. I'm sorry, you're wrong.
Unlucky.
Oh, sorry about that, Sarah.
Thank you.
Take care, Sarah. Cheers. Bye-bye now. Right, so there we go. You can rule out both of those. Scratch those off your list. Where are you going to go from that? Big, still the clue. ClassicHits.ie for all the previous guesses. Niall Boylan, the next port of call.
Yes.
To try and win the cash.
Is he doing the £1,000, I wonder?
Not at all. Are you joking? Imagine trying to get an extra tenner out of Boylan.
No, I wouldn't fancy it.
Not at all. Let's say something. There's burglars and everything haven't managed that.
Stick a tenner on his laptop there and see if
Human League and Don't You Want Me Here are classic hits. Thank you for waking up happy with BJ and Jim. Thanks for letting us hang out with you on your Wednesday morning, Wednesday 3rd of February. On the way, of course, this hour, the chance to win yourself a year's supply of Swedish Nutra's vitamin C and D3. Remember, it's a chance to super boost your immune system.
Super boost indeed.
Super boost.
Vitamins all over the gaff.
You
C's
better
and
believe
D's
it.
Coming out your ears.
Yeah, exactly. This is the one time when C's and D's are good things.
They are, exactly. For once.
Yeah.
For once.
Swedish Nutra's vitamin C and D3. A year's supply up for grabs on the breakfast table quiz. 11 is the top of the leaderboard at the moment. That's still to come. But if you've been a regular listener to this show, you'll know that our PJ, along the way, he's had a fair share of kitchen nightmares. And I'm not even talking about the fact that sometimes his kitchen is underwater. I'm leaving that aside, right?
This is a different nightmare.
There was the incident in relation to the turnip and the cooking of a turnip.
That was
where
disaster.
PJ never realised that you had to peel it and chop it up.
Ask these people, Jim, in the shop, how do you do it? They say put it in water and boil it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't say cut it up into cubes.
They
and
just
all that.
Assume that you're not going to put it in like a human head. Just literally put it into a pot of boiling water.
You love bringing this up like it's sort of
just
sums up my
cooking. But anyway, listen, there's a specific kitchen nightmare that he's having at the moment, and it seems to be one that's been ongoing for
you. This is ongoing for years now. Can I just say this? I'm very upset.
Okay.
And I want to say something, and it's a bold statement. But unless you're a scientist, it is impossible to cook a steak. It's impossible to cook a steak. I had a go at yesterday. I've been given a voucher. So I thought I'll treat myself to a midweek steak, right? I was given a voucher by Elaine, gave me one there.
Yeah.
I went to that lovely place down the road from me. You know the one where the shop that we'd be frequenting.
Oh,
right?
It's beautiful.
I says, give me two ribeye steaks, I said. And the man said, no problem. I says, now listen, come here. I've never been able to cook a steak. I've never got it right. And he goes, it's very simple. You go home, you turn on the pan, you make it as hot as you can.
Right.
Bit of butter, no oil. Right.
Okay.
3 minutes this side, 3 minutes that side, eat it. No problem. Well, I tell you what happened, right? I went home, I put the thing on, I got the pan as hot as possible.
Yeah.
I put on a little bit of butter, no oil. I put the steak on, 3 minutes this side, 3 minutes that side. And I ended up with two bubbly, horrible bits of blood-looking chewing gum. It was disgraceful. I ruined both of them again. And this is like the 11th time I've done
this. What do
you
mean chewing gum? So what was wrong with it? Was the middle bit, like, raw and the outside burned or what?
Some of it was raw, some of it was overdone, some of it was all chewy. There was fat everywhere, but the fat was so thick you could have made a chair out of it. Stiff, weird fat that you could have made a chair out of. You could have turned a coffee table out of it. It was absolutely and utterly disgusting. All I could do was think about the poor cow who gave her life so that I could throw her in the bin. I was so disgusted.
And you said, you reckon that this, you're into double numbers now in terms of steaks ruined.
By my count, this is about the 11th steak I have ruined in my life. Ruined, and I mean ruined. I have had dogs eating ruined fillet steaks in front of me. I've like £15 worth of steaks.
Your dogs are probably loving it.
These dogs are like, get another one of them. That was delicious. Oh, I love the woody fat and the oversensitive, ridiculously chewy insides that no human could possibly consume. They were delighted with it.
That's incredible. I would have thought.
It's impossible to cook a steak.
Well, I would say most people out there listening would have said to you exactly as that the butcher in that great shop said to you.
I don't
which
care.
Which is that
they're
a steak
liars.
Probably is one of the simplest things to
they're
cook.
They're all liars. It's the hardest thing. I can do a lasagna start to finish. I can put on the cheese. I can do all the bits. I can put all the meals together. I can do chili con carne.
When you say doing lasagna start to finish, do you mean you can open the jars?
No, I don't mean that, smarty pants. I tell you, I know how to cook. I can cook up a dinner.
Right.
I can cook up loads of dinners. I can do
but
all kinds of
things. But a steak is doing you in.
But a steak is impossible.
You see what's going to end up happening?
A team of scientists. That's why I've realised steaks are so expensive in restaurants. Because it takes two scientists, one chef, one helper, and a man from a shop, and a load of it. I don't know. It is an implausible thing to jump
well,
through.
Well, you see, I tell you, the problem is what's going to happen for you now is, right, people, in fairness, they're going to try and help you out. And there'll be this flood of WhatsApps. Okay, there'll be a flood of them.
And it'll all say the same rubbish.
Well, it won't be rubbish, but everybody will have their own version of how they would do a steak. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, there'll be fryers, grillers, there'll be all sorts of people on, and they'll tell you all different ways. But, you know, I'm not sure it's going to help you if that's... Because I pretty much as your man, I mean,
can
if it was
one?
Me, right, if right. It was me, if I was doing
tell
it, right...
Run me through Jim McCabe's steak.
Right, I would have a very hot pan, but I'd sear it... Both sides, right? So I'd sear one side, then the other.
Right, with a lighter or something?
No, sear it as in on the pan. You know what I mean?
Like,
so it's really hot. So I'd sear both sides, and then I'd turn the heat down, you see, until it was at the level that I want, so that I'd get it just pink. Not raw, but just pink. So I'd knock the heat down after the searing, if you know what I mean, just to cook it through a little bit more.
Right.
And then I'd have it. And I find that very tasty.
How'd you knock the heat down in 2 minutes or 3 minutes? It takes
you
ages.
You use the buttons on the thing.
Oh, for God's sake, the pan is roasting. He's turning down the heat of the pan now.
Yeah.
He's turning down the heat of the pan.
You don't have to turn it off. I'm just diminishing it a bit so it doesn't burn while it's, you know, cooking through.
So
that's
how many minutes then do you do each side?
It depends on the steak.
Oh,
the weight and everything.
This is it. You see what I mean? Now, this is science again. Can't just do it. It is a science again now. This is the thing. Well, like, I'd need to have a look at your steak. I'd need to have a conversation with your steak. Like, you sound like a doctor.
Well, everybody recovers differently.
Yeah, you see, I told you we're going to end up in all sorts of things. There's people talking about marinades and everything.
Ah, shut up. Just want to get it.
People talking about whether or not you take it out of your fridge.
No, I didn't. I had it on the counter because I know that's the same with eggs. You can't cook an egg right if it comes out of the fridge.
Right, okay.
You know what I mean? That's why you can't poach an egg properly. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was on the desktop thing.
People telling you to get yourself a George Foreman. It was on the desktop thing.
Well, what am I trying to say? The countertop.
Yeah, and we wonder where the problem is arising.
Oh, jeepers. It's so stressful. And then when I add it all up, that's well over £100 I've wasted on steaks. Like,
yeah.
That's awful when you think of it. That's an awful waste, you know. And I can't give up. I have to figure out how to do it.
I don't know. I'm not sure what this means. I'm obviously missing the gag here, but it says you need to touch your steak, PJ.
What's he talking about?
I don't know what that means.
You need to touch it.
Somebody else pointing out the fact Antoinette just said, no wonder you were veggie for so long, BJ.
I couldn't cook it,
the
yeah.
struggles you've had with meat.
I know, at least tofu just gets chewy regardless, no matter what you do.
You see, people saying grilling is the way to go with it. Medium heat grill. And then you flip it over, or whatever, you cook till the fatty bits go crispy.
Till the fatty goes to crispy fatty bits. So do you not, does that mean, if you put it on the grill, does that mean you don't go near the pan at all? Or do you do what you did and you do this?
Well, no, you can choose either. You can go grill or you can go pan.
Oh,
well, what do you prefer?
God.
Do you prefer to fry? Some people prefer to fry. They feel that it gets the juices. Other people prefer to grill because, you know, they feel that it's less fat.
Do you know what you're like? You're like when you ask those elfers for directions and they go, well, it depends what your mode of transport is. And you just tell me the quickest way to get there. Well, if you're going by bus, the quickest way is the 32. Whereas if you're going by car, Charlie's taxi, it's just, just answer the question. I am in the middle of that.
Well, Alanis Morris said ironic here at Classic Hits. Thank you for waking up happy with PJ and Jim. The bomber's just been on. You know, the bomber, of course, being a butcher, the demon butcher of old Crumlin Town there.
Oh, this
Brown's
man,
Butchers.
Yes, of course, yeah.
Bomber, of course, who you have a lot of time for because he's a big Leeds fan.
I just realised.
Big Morrissey fan.
I've actually handed him for the first time. I've handed him quite a lot of ammunition to get me back for all my slagging over the last
He's offering. He's offering to cook you a steak.
You're kidding me.
He's offering to bring you to Narnia and cook you a steak.
Ah, no, he'd poison me, man. After all the grief I've given him, well, this is his opportunity to get me back.
He didn't put it in the text, but I'd say he'll cook you a steak, providing you go to his house and you sit and listen to Morrissey music while watching old Leeds reruns.
Oh, here. I'll eat an old rat instead. anything's better than listening to that and watching that rubbish. Oh dear God, I wouldn't be able for it.
Right, listen, so I'll tell you something though, right? Among all of the WhatsApps, and I'm going to leave it to you, you can scroll through the WhatsApp yourselves, or yourself, PJ, because there's loads of people have been on.
Right.
Every variation under the sun of how you cook a steak. There's every, as I said, pan frying, grilling, George Foreman, marinades, you name it, right? There's every variation, types of steak, you name it. So you can have a look through all of them, right? Yeah. But the one that I would point out to you, which I think may be the answer, came in from Sean in Mullingar, and he said, PJ, I have the perfect way.
Great.
For you to cook a steak. You go, you buy your steak.
Yeah, exactly.
You bring it home.
I've done this.
And you hand it to your ma.
Breakfast Table Quiz.
It's time for the Breakfast Table Quiz. Win the best prize out there is. Try to get the biggest score. Hope the next call gets the award. It's the Breakfast Table Quiz.
The Breakfast Table Quiz with Kilmartin Educational Services. In class or online, learn and revise safely and get ahead with Julie's CKES.ie.
So this week on the Breakfast Table Quiz, the chance to super boost your immune system. We're giving you a year's supply, a full year's supply of Swedish Nutra's vitamin C and D3. Now this is available in pharmacies all around the country, pharmacies nationwide. So if you want to pop into your local pharmacy and check it out for yourself, by all means, if you're not lucky enough to win with us. And of course, no need to really kind of emphasise the benefits of the likes of vitamin C and vitamin D. We were talking about them yesterday.
Indeed.
Literally, virtually every single part and element of your body is somehow enhanced by having the right levels of vitamin C and vitamin D.
Rumour has it, now I can't confirm it or anything, that you can glow in the dark.
That's what I'm saying. That perhaps may not be true.
Okay, Jim.
But
we're going to have to agree to disagree. You're going to go with the science on this. That's fine. I understand that.
It'll certainly help keep your cells healthy and all sorts of things. Tendons, ligaments, blood vessels, organs, skin, you name it. Vitamin C can help with. And of course, vitamin D is the sunshine vitamin. Bones. Healthy bones, healthy teeth, insulin levels, brain and nervous system. My God, I tell you, could think of a couple of people not too far from here who could benefit from that.
And who would also love to glow in the dark. So today, 12 is the score we need to take the lead. Sean Shannon is going to play for us this morning. How are you, Sean?
How's it going?
Not too bad at all. How are you getting on?
Not too bad.
Good stuff. What part of the country are you in this morning, Sean?
Mullingar. I don't think you're going to like me. I taught you how to cook the steak.
You thought you were going? Oh, you were coming on to tell him how to cook a steak, were you?
No, I texted him how to cook this.
This is Sean, the steak man as well.
Yeah, this is Sean who said that the best way for you to get around your issues with cooking a steak is for you to go buy the steak and give it to your mother.
Oh, is that him? Tell you, Sean, you'll be causing more trouble than it's worth. No steak is worth the trouble that would cause.
But anyway, let's try and return the favour, Sean, and try and get you up on top of the leaderboard and get you that year's supply of Swedish Nutra's vitamin C and D3. Right, so 60 seconds for you to get at least 12. You ready to go?
Yeah.
Best of luck, here we go.
What is the first name of Ozzy Osbourne's wife?
Sharon.
Save a Prayer and Hungry Like the Wolf were hits for what pop band?
I don't know.
Duran Duran, Kevin Keegan managed what international football team in Euro 2000?
England.
Which rock and roll legend died on the 16th of August 1977?
Elvis.
The action film Platoon was set during what conflict?
Vietnam.
According to the proverb, what is the mother of invention?
I don't know.
Necessity, who was Sherlock Holmes' assistant and flatmate?
Watson.
In what wood are Winnie the Pooh stories set?
I don't know.
100 Acre Wood, what is the head of the Roman Catholic Church called?
The Pope.
What is the name of Elsa's sister in the movie Frozen?
Oh, God. Anna.
Yeah, in what decade did George Bernard Shaw die?
80.
The 50s. Berlin is the capital of what country?
Germany.
How long is a regular term for a US president?
4 years.
Do Australians drive on the left or the right side of the road?
The right.
It's the left.
One wrong to finish. That's a shame, because you were on a good old roll there, to be fair to you, Sean. So let's see how we did. Was it good enough? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 correct answers.
Tell you, Sean, you were doing really well there. You were just flying, actually, for a lot of that.
It sounded like it was a better score as we were going along, PJ.
I thought it was going to be neck and neck, to be honest.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9
You can get a mug if you want.
we'll say that to Mike and see what he says.
I'll let you argue that one out with Michael. But listen, Sean, thanks for playing. Have a good day, man.
Okay, thanks.
Cheers, man.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Sean.
Backstreet Boys here at Classic Hits, As Long As You Love Me. Where was I going to say there? I was distracted because, to be honest with you, after the steak conversation, Magic Mike was working away on trying to get a chef on.
Was he?
Right, but it didn't quite come to pass. He was trying to get the official line for you. But to be honest with you, I'm not even sure that would have helped you because loads and loads of people have offered you loads of variations on WhatsApp.
And they're all spoofers.
But,
you know,
but ultimately, if you just can't do it, you just can't do it.
Oh my God, there has to be a way. I'm just saying, all these traditional methods have led me up the garden path.
The methods are fine. The food is fine. May I say, the operator, maybe, you know, struggling a bit.
I was told that making a steak is just like doing a big slice of toast. You can't get it wrong, God. You just heat it up on the sides and then that's it, you have it.
Can you believe this, Sarah? A big slice of toast is how he was referred to.
I'm actually tempted to offer.
I know. See, I think that's what he's doing. I think secretly.
In the sandwich toaster outside.
Tara could knock it up in a sandwich toaster. You can't even do it with a full kitchen in your big mansion there.
Okay, straight away, let's forget about it. Tara's like MacGyver when it comes to food. Tara could make. Give Tara a Swiss Army knife, two coat hangers, a bag of flour, and an apple, and she'll make some kind of cake out of it. She can make anything out of anything.
Yeah.
It's not a fair comparison.
Apple Charlotte, actually, with that list of recipes that you've just.
She's
literally. Can't cook, won't cook. Let's see what's in the bag. Ooh, we have a penknife, a coat hanger, a piece of old rope.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I think I could knock you up a Black Forest gâteau.
Yeah, an apple Charlotte gâteau. It'll be perfect. We'll have it done in the next 5 minutes. It's impossible to do a steak. I'm saying it's impossible to do one as a normal human being without training. It's impossible.
Oh, my God. Despite the fact that most of the nation are now texting in, giving you how it's done.
These are still, oh, my God, like any of these people haven't been to college for this.
Oh, dear God. Anyway, that wasn't what we intended talking about because... If you've ever done that thing where, you know, something's going wrong in your life, actually similar to PJ, except maybe it's a bit, you know, a bit more than just the cooking of a steak. Maybe it's an actual problem. You know, that you've had a period in your life where it's a bit rubbish and you think to yourself, I'd love to do? I'd love to just go sleep and wake up when it's all over. When it's all over, when it's all finished, right? Wake me up when it's all over. Stop the world, I want to get off. I just want to, just wake me up when all this rubbish is gone. If you've ever thought that, bear in mind... Just spare a thought for this
thing again. This actually was a terrible story, but thankfully it's coming to a good end. So he's a young lad called Joseph Flavel. He was in an accident this time last year. He was in quite a serious accident and he's been in a coma for 10 months, right?
Right.
Now, the thing is, right, during his time of recovery, and thankfully, and thank everybody, it's so brilliant that this young lad is starting to come around. He's starting to wake up. His family are so happy. They've had a GoFundMe thing. People have showed their amazing generosity. They've got behind it. They've raised money for his recovery. It's actually such a joyful story that this great kid, has come around and he's going to make it. And that's the good part of this story.
Right.
In his recovery, he's caught coronavirus twice and he's beaten it both times, right?
While
in a coma. And now he's coming out of it and they're thinking, how are we going to tell him? What's been going on in the world? They says now he knows nothing about the pandemic. He knows nothing about coronavirus, really, even though he's had it twice. He knows nothing about what's been going on. They haven't been able to tell him why they're not really in the room with him as he's recovering. You know, and he's just taking it all in a stride. They're kind of going, after everything he's been through, how are we going to tell him what's been going on in the world?
Yeah, because he's going to, you know, wake up a bit elated and he's going to assume,
see people.
You know, hug his family maybe and do all that sort of stuff. And they're at the other side of a window going, good to see you.
And they're like, were you? We've got news!
Yeah.
We've got news!
That's incredible. So he's completely oblivious to what's been going on in the world.
Absolutely oblivious to everything that has happened. 3 weeks before the UK went into lockdown, he went into hospital. He's been in a coma since. He's finally coming out with such fantastic news, but they don't have to break the news to him. It sounds like one of those movies, doesn't it?
So it's a bit like, while you weren't here, right, this is what happened, and you got it.
What? Yeah,
I was literally here the whole time. How did I get it?
Well,
and yeah, actually, you got it twice.
This was the worst place to be, actually. Yeah, you got it twice. It just goes to show, if I've learned anything about 2020, even if you can erase your past, even if you can even if you got your dream come true, where he says, I just wish I could go asleep and wake up in a year's time, you are still able to have a terrible year in 2020.
What an amazing year 2020 was.
Isn't it like those, I used to watch movies like this. You know those movies, The Walking Dead is like this. You know, at the start, start, he gets into an accident. He goes to hospital. And it's a totally normal day other than that. Then he wakes up and there's been a zombie apocalypse. It's literally the plot of The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
So he must be thinking, this is the maddest. This is like, this is a genuine Hollywood blockbuster.
Or if
they should make a movie out of this.
When he woke up, like, if they were saying to him, you won't believe literally in the year that you've been out, right? Literally, you won't believe it. This, the global pandemic, like, hasn't been seen for God knows how long. It happened. The entire world was just transformed in a period of weeks or whatever into this madness forever and ever. And he was probably thinking, oh God, so strangely enough, I'm glad I missed it. Yeah, now about that, right?
And then I'll be there. You know, have you any questions for me? I do, actually. I know you've had a tough year and you're just waking up a coma. You don't know how to do a fillet steak.
Sixpence on the Richard, Kiss Me and Soft Cell with Tainted Love just ahead of that. Thanks a million for waking up happy with BJ and Jim. Thanks for letting us hang out with you on your Wednesday, Wednesday 3rd of February. And I'll tell you something, PJ Gallagher, right?
Yeah.
Never let it be said that I don't do everything I possibly can to make your life easier.
What are you up to now, you fabulous man?
You're on there complaining about your inability to cook yourself a steak.
Jim, you've no idea.
How many steaks you ruined? A dozen steaks ruined?
I'd say one shy of a dozen, I think, yeah.
You've ruined over the time. Okay.
Yeah.
You had the entire nation WhatsApping in with how they cooked their steaks.
And by the way,
there was grilling, there was frying, there was marinating, there was every variation under the sun. You said, no, poo to all of us.
Well, I didn't say poo to all of us. I was just saying, listen, country Ireland, make up your mind here. Which one of these is it?
Yeah, because you reckon that in order to cook a steak, you have to be either a scientist.
You need a team of scientists.
Team of scientists to cook a steak.
Yeah.
What a lot of people regard as one of the easiest things in the world. Well, okay. So you didn't want to accept my advice. You didn't want to accept the advice of the nation.
What's your advice?
What about if I give you just one of the truly greatest of them all? Right,
yeah.
What if I was to bring to you the executive chef, Chateau de Cordesau? I've pronounced that wrong, haven't I, Gaz?
Yeah, not great, Jim.
I've made a complete haze of that. But anyway, listen, the most important thing is, it is the brilliant award-winning chef Gary O'Hanlon.
Oh, no way.
Yes,
all right,
indeed.
Gary, what's the crack?
PJ, what's happening? I can't believe you can't cook a steak, mate.
Now, come on, Gary, you are a food scientist, so, you know what I mean? It's a little bit different. I feel a little bit knocked on a hard done by when you say that to me. Steaks are really impossible.
Oh, no, I don't know, but I'll tell you, the first thing I do, though, is find the boy that texted in to grill the steak and go put him down, because I'll tell you what, he really should be put out of his misery for grilling a steak. My God.
There you go. You see that? Gary, the brilliant thing about Gary, by the way, if you don't follow Gary O'Hanlon on Twitter or Instagram, get on it, right? It's sort of like a porn site, really. It's when you follow Gaz, right? The most magnificent pictures of fabulous food.
Unbelievable.
And it's kind of proper food. Do you know what I mean by that, Gaz?
Food.
I don't mean any...
Ah, yeah.
It is proper food, right? It is fantastic to watch. But the one thing is, don't get on with any of your highfalutin, you know, calorie-cutting ideas here now.
Yeah. You don't get this body easy, Jim.
No. You're right, buddy. I'm right there with you, man. I'm shoulder to shoulder with you. Right, so listen, PJ, put him out of his misery, will you? Talk him through the perfect steak for the average man.
Yeah, well, it couldn't be simpler. First off, which is really important, good butcher. You know, Higgins' Butchers in Dublin is one that jumps out at me right away. You can buy online. So good meat is a start. I mean, no matter how good a cook you are, you're not going to do much with bad meat.
Fair enough.
A piece of sirloin or ribeye, probably the two best cuts. I mean, fillet is fillet, but even a bad fillet is nice. So a ribeye or a sirloin, and let's just talk about a sirloin steak, because that's the most popular, I suppose. And you got to get a pan on, make sure it's quite dry, no streaky oil from a slice of bacon in the morning or anything, because it'll go on fire on you. So basically, a good dry pan, give it a rub with a bit of kitchen paper, get it on until it's almost white smoking, like really, really, really hot.
Yeah.
And what I tend to do is just put a nice, I like to call it salt frying, where I just have Maldon salt, which is like little flakes of salt. It's in a wee white box, you see it in most shops. But a little bit of flaky sea salt, not fine salt, but flaky salt. And I put on almost more than what you think it should have on it.
Right.
And yeah, like snow on a ball of snow. I've done all this, Gary, I'm with you. Go on, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Great illustration there. And then, once the pan is hot enough, put it on and just step away from the vehicle. Don't go near it for a few minutes. You're going to be tempted to shank the pan and mess around. Let it go. Let it rock and roll. Have your smoke alarm maybe a window
disabled.
You know, I always used to say when I was doing cookery demos back in the day, if you're not setting off a smoke alarm cooking a steak, you're not doing it right. And give it about 3-4 minutes and just take a wee peek. And once you have a nice little colouring, a lovely sear on it, flip it around onto another side of the pan that you haven't been on, and it so it gets like a maximum hit of heat again, and then leave it. And then what you can do, depending on how thick your steak is, you can turn down the heat and just continue to turn it every now and again for a few minutes. You know, 6-7 minutes, like for a nice rested medium steak is more than enough. If you like it well done, have your oven preheated to 180 and you can put it in there for about 8 or 9 minutes after you have a good seal on it. It all depends how thick your steak is, you know, but you know, go to a good butcher and they'll sort of cut you one that's a good inch thick at least, you know, and that's what I like.
You know. Lovely. I'll tell you something, guys. I just wish you were physically here with us, right? For a couple of reasons. One is because I'd make you cook me a steak. But apart from that, the other one is because I wish you could see PJ's face.
I did all this! I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Do you know something?
Let me just ask Gaz a question on this, right? Gary, there's a lot of things people kind of can't get their head around how important it is to allow meat to rest.
Yes. Yeah.
And they go at it, they do their cooking or whatever, and they whip it off their pan or out of their oven or whatever, and they get stuck into eating it or whatever. Yeah. And isn't it amazing the difference if you give meat some time to rest before you get stuck in?
Without a doubt. Well, especially if it's that sort of a thicker piece. If you imagine the summertime going down to the water, and I know PJ is out with the lifeboats now and again, and it's a really, really hot day and you jump into the water, straight from ripping off the clothes and going straight in, you get the shock of your life. It's the same with a piece of meat if it comes straight from the fridge. So a good hour before you want to cook it, you want it out of the fridge, coming to sort of room temperature. That way, it's going to help the meat relax. And then you're putting it on the pan. It's not going to curl up and tighten the muscle. So resting at room temperature beforehand important. But like you say, Jim, a good 3-4 minutes after you take it out of the oven or after you take it off the pan, let it sit. All the juices will settle in it. I mean, when you cut the steak, really, there should be very, very little juice or blood, whatever it would be, running around your plate. It should be settled into the meat.
Yeah.
So it's incredibly important in all types of meat. And what exactly is wrong with PJ steak, though? Like, if he tells me...
He says it's like chewing gum.
It's like chewing gum. It was like cow-flavoured chewing gum. So it was like...
You're buying bad beef. You're buying bad meat.
I don't think I did. I think it was free.
You did.
I have a feeling, Gaz, listening to him, I have a feeling it might be the resting that's the issue here. I have a feeling he's getting stuck in just too soon. He's not giving it an opportunity, and he's getting it a bit sort of, you know, gooey in the middle or something.
I left it on for 3 minutes, right? The pan was roasting. I put it on the pan, left it 3 minutes. I turned it over, left it another 3 minutes, right?
Yeah.
And then I thought, it was, not only was it not done, but it was like bubblicious.
Jesus Christ.
Well, my wife said to me whenever I met her back in the day, PG, you buy cheap, you buy twice.
I tell you something, she was laying the ground rules early doors, wasn't she, Gaz?
She got stuck in early doors, Jim, no message.
Right, now listen, there it is. An award-winning chef, the executive chef from a place I can't even pronounce. That's how good Gaz is, right?
I know, I tell you, it was a very reputable butcher I bought it from, I tell you.
You've had it literally now the most perfect way to cook a steak. In fact, I'm salivating here just listening to Gary. It's like Gary was telling a dirty story there.
Yeah, I know.
When he was describing how to cook that steak. So you surely to God you feel enlightened now, PJ.
I did all these things. I said, the beef was so expensive. I paid more for that steak than I'd paid to get my left hand fixed. Like it was pretty expensive stuff. I don't know what I'm still doing something very wrong somewhere on the line, and I don't know. You make it sound so. I think you maybe have a magic touch. You know, Gary, you have a natural talent.
A big thing, PJ, when it comes to sirloins is something that I see here in Ireland an awful lot, in shops in particular, as opposed to, say, in the States when I lived over there. But a sirloin steak or a ribeye should be cut quite thick. You know, you'll often see in the stores in particular, because meat is expensive and people buy with their eyes, they buy with price, that, you know, it's very rare that you'll see something that's that's much bigger than two or three rashers cut together, and that's not how a sirloin. It's very difficult to cook a steak that's that thin and have it tender, you know.
Yeah.
It's up and hang around. They're wet back aged. I think it's in Sutton where Higgins is. And I have got nothing to do with the butchers. I'm just saying it because Rick and the boys over there are brilliant. Johnstone Beef Online is another place. Because the best beef in the world from some of these guys used to go around the world. And now they can't go around the world. They put vans on the road and you can buy it in your house. So you've never really, there's never been a better time to buy steak in Ireland simply because what the restaurants and myself and Chateau de Coudreau would be using, we're not open at the minute. So these places have actually opened online and you can buy it now because stuff that goes into shops, it's a wet back age product and it wouldn't really have a dry aging process or be hanging long enough.
Yeah.
But you're now getting dry aged meat delivered to the doors or whatever. So there's absolutely no excuse, PJ, for making a mess of it. So, you know, you can tell us all you want that you're spending a load of money on your steak, but we know you're being cheap, brother. I'm telling
this
you.
This is outrageous.
Oh, this has gone better than I could possibly imagine.
This is not how I imagined this has gone.
PJ getting a double kicking here. This is fantastic.
Listen, I feel even worse because I used a voucher. I actually didn't pay for it at all.
Before we let you go, Gaz, give us a quick rundown. What are you at the moment? Obviously, the executive chef stuff is where the main focus is, but I mean, I see you online all the time. And again, if you don't follow Gary O'Hanlon on his social media, get on it. He's on Instagram and Twitter and all that sort of stuff, and it's absolutely fantastic. But what are you up to? What's occupying you at the moment now with all of the kind of restrictions in place?
I'm involved in obviously Chateau de Coudreau and Niall Carroll, who's the boss over there. He's based in Ireland as well, and right now we're just building content just for the social media crew, like in the marketing department, that will drop through the year. I mean, we're a private golf resort in Chateau de Coudreau, so a lot of our off-season work, COVID or not, we would be doing that right now anyway, with the means to maybe being back at it the end of March or April. So there is a good bit of stuff to be done with that, like, and you know, getting content, recipes, photographs, things like that. And I'm in the early stages of a new business in Arizona as well. I can't talk too much about that, but I'm involved in a new startup over there for the last 18 months, and we're getting very close to launching something over there. Our headquarters is Scottsdale, Arizona, but it'll be worldwide eventually, but stateside for the most part for the first while. But yeah, so that by nighttime because of the time zone has kept me quite busy in the evenings and nights. And yeah, so it's keeping the head up and keeping busy, Jim. You know?
Happy days, happy days. Listen, guys, you're a gent and a scholar and a superstar for coming on and chatting to us and trying to teach PJ. I don't know. I mean, I tell you.
I look forward to doing stake number 12 and blaming it on you, Gary, no matter what fault it is of mine.
Guys, man, have a good day, okay? Take care of yourself, buddy.
Thank you, boss. Thank you so much.
There you go, the brilliant Gary O'Hanlon. As I say, on social media, you can find him on Twitter and on Instagram, and it's well worth the follow. He's a sound man.
He's a
wizard.
He's a food wizard.
And he's such a dead-on bloke as well. And he loves, like, kind of proper food.
I know,
stuff like that.
He's right up our street, really, isn't
he? Absolutely.
I wish he told me how to do a steak.